welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Again, good morning. Welcome. So good to have each of you here today on this Palm Sunday as we get ready to delve into the scriptures together and really take a look at this day and its significance as it relates to this Holy Week, Passion Week that we're coming embarking upon as we head toward Easter Sunday next week. So we're going to start with the passage out of the Gospel of John, John chapter 12, verse 9. When all the people heard of Jesus' arrival, they flocked to see him and also to see Lazarus, the man Jesus had raised from the dead. Then the leading priests decided to kill Lazarus too, for it was because of him that many of the people had deserted them and believed in Jesus. The next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down to the road to meet him. They shouted, "Praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hail to the King of Israel!" Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, "Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt." Keep going here. His disciples didn't understand at that time that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. But after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered what had happened and realized that these things had been written about him. Many in the crowd had seen Jesus call Lazarus from the tomb, rising from the dead, and they were telling others about it. That was the reason so many went out to meet him, because they had heard about this miraculous sign. Then the Pharisees said to each other, "There's nothing we can do. Look, everyone has gone after him." So this is the event that we look at, we celebrate, that we remember today, that we call Palm Sunday. This was a time of a glorious, triumphal entry of Jesus as he's heading toward Jerusalem. Actually, when this event happened, people came out to meet him. So he hadn't even really got into the heart of the city at this point. They're just excited. They heard about Lazarus, and they realize this has got to be the King of Israel, you know. And so they're excited. They're thrilled. And, of course, these are not, as you can tell, the Pharisees and the leading theologians and religious leaders of the day. These are just the common folk who are celebrating something that they just witnessed and that they had heard about. Now, palm branches, that is something that is actually emblematic of victory and triumph. Palm branches were part of the ceremony in the Feast of Tabernacles. And so they signified a joyous triumph. And as you think about, you know, this, I mean, in our day, this kind of event would be like a ticker tape parade. It would just be people surrounding and celebrating and rejoicing together. Now, here's kind of the irony. As you look at what we call, again, Passion Week, there's two bookends. There's Palm Sunday, and there's Easter Sunday. And when you really look at Palm Sunday, yeah, they're celebrating Jesus, but they're celebrating something surrounding this. They're really also celebrating the resurrection of Lazarus. This is a celebration of what Jesus did in raising Lazarus from the dead. It's also, when we look at Easter Sunday, it's the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So you've got these two events. These are resurrection events. And in fact, they wanted to kill Lazarus too. Because of the resurrection of Lazarus, people were following after Jesus. So they had two problems now. But as we look at this Sunday, this Palm Sunday, it is powerful because as you look at the events and the things that surround it, it does prepare our hearts for Easter, for Resurrection Sunday. So this morning, we're simply going to look at Palm Sunday, and we're going to look further, delve a little deeper into some of these events that happened on Palm Sunday, and just see how the events of this time, of this day, are powerful in just getting our hearts ready for Easter Sunday. And while I'm at it here, I'm going to put in a little plug. This Friday, we have what we call our Good Friday service, 7 p.m. You'll see it. It's in the bulletin. I'll make an announcement again. But it's one of those unique services at Door of Life. Again, it's a shorter service, and it's probably just about, 45 minutes or so. And it's we do the service in film, in video. So we'll take Jesus of Nazareth and the other one, The Passion. Thank you, Jody. We'll do some of those clips from those movies, and we'll kind of walk through that Good Friday, that night when Jesus was betrayed. And, I'll have some things that I share and minister, but it's primarily kind of a filmography of that night as we walk through it together. But what are we doing this week? We're just preparing our hearts, for the culmination, Resurrection Sunday, what this is all about, what Jesus came here for. So we're going to go ahead this morning, and we're just going to, again, go into this Palm Sunday, the event, what it is, what it means, and some of the things around this event that can stir us up and prepare our hearts for Easter. First of all, a giving heart. So before Jesus ever rides in on the donkey, there's a backstory to the donkey. The scripture says, as he came out of the towns of Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. He said, go into that village over there, he told them. As you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks why you're untying that colt, just say, the Lord needs it. So they went and found the colt, just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, why are you untying that colt? And the disciples simply replied, the Lord needs it. So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. As he rode along, the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him. So, little backstory on the donkey part of Passover, of Palm Sunday. Jesus, he had a lot of foreknowledge of what was going to happen, of course, in these days to come. And there was a few times where he said, the Son of Man's going to be handed over. He's going to be abused. He's going to be ridiculed. But then on the third day, he's going to rise again. He knew the things that were about to happen as he was walking this out. But he also knew something else. He knew that there was a cult owner somewhere. And he said, you go into that village, you untie that, and get that cult. Now, if you think that and bring that forward to 2025, that would be our mode of transportation. Obviously, it would be a car. It'd be like somebody going into your garage, to your car that's never been driven before. Factory fresh. And you're looking, for the keys and the visor or something. Oh, what are you doing? He said, oh, the master needs it. Oh, okay. I'll tell you what. Isn't it interesting? This cult owner apparently had a reputation with God of being a giver. Man, I see that. We don't even have a name. Certain village guy, and it's not like, they're using a Jedi mind trick on him or something, The master has need of it. The master has need of it. Okay. No, this is a person who is willingly and from their heart, giving this away because the master has need of it. I want to be like that guy where the Lord could just say, oh yeah, Holy Spirit, just impress Ed. Yeah, he'll do it. I mean, how'd you like to have that kind of reputation with the Lord? That kind of a giving heart, I love that. I think it's a beautiful part of preparing. It reminds us of God. God so loved the world, he gave. Here's a great little admonition as it relates to giving. He said, remember this, a farmer who plants
Only a few seeds will get a small crop. The one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. I love that wonderful, generous, giving heart. You know, that's the way God loved us. In other words, he didn't send Jesus grudgingly or just of necessity. You know, God had a heart. He had a generous heart. If God didn't have a heart to redeem us, all he would have had to do is nothing. He could have just let us go our own way. He loved us, for God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. When we see that cross, when we think of what Jesus was getting ready to do, he was getting launched into, it was love that was pushing him forward to what he knew was going to be tremendous suffering. The love of God. We see that love. But we also see an opportunity to have a loving, giving heart like that. You know? And that's the way God wants us to respond to that colt owner. Oh, yeah, sure, go for it. Oh, the master needs it. Okay, great. Wow, yeah. And this is where, you know, I love how the scripture is, you know, don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. A lot of times we think of giving and you think of scams, you might think of a cable, TV, you know, preacher, you know, all that kind of that genre of that, you know, give, and it can almost feel like I got to give almost like I'm paying mafia protection money. So that my cattle don't die, that my car doesn't die, that I got to do this to, you know, pay off, you know, and give in fear. And that's not how we give. I'm not giving because out of fear that bad things are going to happen to me. I'm giving generously. I'm giving from a heart because the master putting on something on my heart, I want to give. You know, sometimes people have the attitude, well, if you just put pressure on people to give, they'll be blessed in spite of themselves. They will not be blessed in spite of themselves. How you give matters. It's not about just trying to crank out money to fund a project. How people give matters. The scripture goes this far. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. When I think of Palm Sunday and I think of a giving heart and that guy that just gave his donkey thing, that's the heart. That's the giving heart. Yes, Satan has a counterfeit for everything God has that's real and authentic. And sometimes when you think of giving, you can always just see it through the jaded, this scandal, that scandal. But you know what? There's a real, pure, true, genuine, fresh air article of giving that we see an example of on Palm Sunday. And I let go, yes, Lord, make me like that guy. I want to be a generous giver. I want to have that generous giving heart. It also helps me to see and get a revelation of how God gave to me. He loved me and he gave himself for me. That's Jesus. Not only that, but there's also worship that we see in this time. I did want to just share one other thing along those lines. This is something where I had, you know, all of our, Whitney, Lindsay, Kaylee, they've all done missions trips and different things, and they've all been able to experience that overseas stuff. And one of the things that just was profound to me, I just remember when Lindsay had come back from Haiti. I think we were in an Applebee's and we were just kind of catching up and she was kind of telling us her Haiti stories and all that. And she said there was this one little girl that she was so drawn to and connected with. And she said, these people are just so impoverished. Just like you can't even believe they if they can just get a little bit of meal, you know, and to have food for the day, that's great. That's what they want, just to be able to live from day to day. And she was, and she said this one little girl that she just established this friendship with, she just wanted to bless Lindsay so much and show her love that she said, you know, I'd like for you to have my biscuit. That's all she had. you know, but that's all she could give. But Lindsay didn't ask for it, but she knew that Lindsay probably ate better, you know, even this little girl, and just like, can you have that? And Lindsay was, she was like, when she was describing this in Applebee's, I remember she was just so touched, as we're eating this big meal, you know, just how moved she was by that. And it wasn't the, obviously, just the content of a biscuit. It was the heart in which it was given. You know, it's like, wow, that was like precious. And that's where it's important for us to understand. It's the heart as we're giving and we're giving people and or we're responding to God. We're doing it with the heart of wanting to bless, to want to bless. You know, I mean, I think, yeah, Kaylee shared a similar story when she was in Africa. They were at a children's hospital, and they were there to minister to these kids. And as they were about to leave, they said, do you want prayer for anything? And they said, wow, well, okay, you know, you can pray for us. And I think they mentioned a few things. And as they were just, you know, praying, you know, Kaylee said she just felt a little hand on her arm, just praying for her and lifting her up. And I'm just saying, as we're talking about this, if, again, it's not vast amounts. There's an obedience to the witness of the Spirit of God when we do these things. It's fresh. Giving. It's fresh. It's clean. It's good. Why are we here today? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. See giving in a fresh, clean, pure light and open your heart to the Holy Spirit and be that cult owner. I want to be that cult owner. I want to be that person, Lord. I want you to be able to say, I know a guy, and it's me. That's how I want to be with the Lord. I want to have that kind of heart, that sweet, tender heart. What a beautiful example. And then, of course, worship. This is such a powerful aspect when we think of Palm Sunday. Then those who went before and those who followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Wow. Again, this is another reminder, an occasion of the event of Palm Sunday that stirs us up to prepare our hearts for Easter, and that is worship, recognizing our King and giving him glory and honor. Now, it's pretty interesting. Sometimes people wonder about or question the deity of Jesus. He's being worshiped here. Was Jesus just a good man? We appreciate good men, but we don't worship good men. In fact, the Apostle John got caught trying to worship an angel once as he relates his vision. And the angel rebuked him and said, get up, don't worship me, worship God. There's only one who's worthy of worship. A good man can be appreciated as a good man, but he's not worthy of worship. Only God is to be worshiped. And here's quite an inflection point. Rebuke your disciples. He said, if these should keep silent, the stones would cry out. Was Jesus denying who he was? Not at all. He was doubling down. He's saying, if they don't, creation is going to cry out. We know that creation declares, but he said, these rocks will cry out. I'm telling you what, we remember who Jesus is, who he was, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, but he is God in the flesh. Yeah, he went to that cross. He took upon himself flesh, but he is God. He's worshiped as God, and we remember that. We prepare our hearts remembering who came to us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld him. Praise God. Now, you'll see that there is a response in terms of the Pharisees that he said, you know, rebuke your disciples. Now, here's kind of an interesting parallel, I think. As Peter speaks, he says in his writings, therefore, to you who believe, he's precious. Amen. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they were also to which they also were appointed. That's kind of an interesting interplay on if you they don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. And how is Jesus described? He's described as the stone which the builders rejected. And the same thing that happened back here happens today. Do you know you could talk about religion at a high level and get away with it and be fine? But as soon as you invoke the name of Jesus Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a silence. The same spirit that wanted to silence the name 2,000 years ago is still in the earth trying to silence that name. Why? There's power in that name. That name is above every name. It's the rock which the builders rejected. Another place called the rock, it's called a rock of offense. Why is it offensive? It's quite a claim, isn't it? What did Jesus say? He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. On the surface, that could seem very religiously bigoted. However, if it's true, it's true. Why is it true? We find that religion and all that isn't just a matter of, I think this, you think that, and let's come together and we're going to all make each other happy and feel good and all that. No, man really fell, and man really needed a Savior. And Jesus is that rock. In fact, when he said those words, no one comes to the Father but by me, hours later, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, Father, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from me. In other words, he made the claim, and then he validated his own claim, praying to the Father three times. Look, there's another way to get this done. If there's another way to satisfy your wrath toward the sin of man than a sinless sacrifice on a cross, let the cup pass from me. If there's 1,000 ways to do this, let's do it 1,000 ways. Heaven was silent all three times. The reason why Jesus said it is because he knew in the heart, in the mind of God, who is just and holy, there was one way to do it. And so we stand for that way. We stand for that name. And that name, the Apostle Paul puts it this way. He said, when we preach the word of God, we're like a stench to some people. And to other people, we're like this fragrance. Depending on how you're seeing. The Holy, God's willing that none should perish. The Holy Spirit draws all men. He wants every man to be saved. That's his heart. But we have a choice to choose to worship, to choose to yield, to choose to believe. What happens? This is the thing that we remember, I think, as we prepare our hearts in our worship. But you, this is us this morning, are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. What a great way to stir ourselves up as we're heading in toward Easter. Man, we were once not a people, but now we're the people of God. We looked at that a few weeks ago, how Jesus tore down the middle wall of partition that was between Jew and Gentile. That holier than thou, we're a cut above. It was torn down in Christ. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. The tension was broken. And when you receive Jesus as Savior, that tension is broken in your heart. If you have not received Jesus, that wall is still up and that tension is still there. But man, when you humble yourself, worship, it comes down. Mankind, we're all on the same playing field. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. We all need Jesus. and we all worship as we call upon his name, the same Lord. Praise God. And then finally, visitation. Now, after, you know, Jesus said, if these guys, you know, if my disciples were silent, the rocks would cry out. This is what happened next. Now, as he drew near, he saw the city, Jerusalem, and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this day, the things that make for your peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. He said this right after that. So you kind of think of Jerusalem. They're going out. They're having the parade. Now he's heading toward, just ready to go into the city, and he's weeping over it. Now, of course, he knows what's going to happen. I mean, he's even looking at his own disciples. He sees Judas, who's about to betray him in a couple days. He's looking over at Peter, who's about to deny him three times, that he even knows him. And of course, most of this crowd that's saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, is going to be saying, crucify him. In just a few days, people are going to turn, be stirred up, different things like that. He's looking out ahead at this week that he's heading into. Now, it's interesting when you look at the Bible, you see there's only two times where Jesus explicitly wept. Just before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he wept with his family. And he weeps here, just before the Father is about to raise him from the dead too. But what does he say? He said, the things that would make for your peace, if you had known the things that would make for your peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. Ultimately, why? Because you didn't know the time of your visitation. Now, this is sobering. I get it. But this is part of Palm Sunday. There's a sobering reminder, too, that we have in Palm Sunday, too. There is a time of visitation. He was saying, you're about to be visited. You didn't get it. And of course, historically, you can see it play out, 70 AD. Commander Titus goes in, levels Jerusalem. It happens. But there's a warning that comes with this. And I like this part of the story because I see this part of the story and I see my life. I see the Holy Spirit. I see visitations from God. I see things that I experience from God. Now, this is a case where you don't know, you're not aware, you're looking the other way. You're being visited by God, but you're not appreciating the moment. I mean, the Bible even says of the disciples, they didn't even fully understand until after Jesus was raised from the dead, he went to glory. Then they go, wow, wait now, that was that scripture. Guys, you know, it's amazing how you can be in the middle of something and not see it sometimes. And he's crying. Another passage said, I would have gathered you like a gather chicks. You know, I'm just like, I'm affectionate for you. And so we see this heart of God. And why is this important? Because there are times of visitation. And as I'm preparing this week, I'm listening this week. I'm keeping my heart open. I'm keeping my ears open. God, are you visiting me? I can look at different things in my life where I experience God. And I had a choice. I've had a lot of different, you know, breakthroughs where I've experienced things, just things in God that I've shared with you guys throughout the years, you know, whether it was, you know, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, whether it was seeing, you know, experiencing that new creation, revelation, different things like that. There were things that I had experienced in God, healing, physical healing for your body, where you're going to go in a direction and say, okay, do we believe it? I'm putting my heart on the line and I'm believing. What about those people that weren't healed? What about those people that were? I'm putting my heart on the line. God, I'm trusting you. I'm believing you. there's things, and I've had breakthroughs, and I've seen that. Does that mean I understand all things? No. Do I have why God questions? Yes. There are things that I don't fully, clearly understand, but I'm not called to understand everything. By design, I only know in part. There's coming a day when I'll know fully, even as I'm fully known, but I'm going to work with my part. There's faith, hope, and love in that part. I'm putting my heart on the line. There's a Holy Spirit, and this is how Jesus said it. He said, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. In other words, there's knowledge that's released almost like time capsule. He knows what you can bear when you can bear it. He says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he's going to guide you into all truth. He won't speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit is speaking things to our heart? Things that would make for our peace. And a lot of times, like they did, I'm not looking down here, all right? I know what it's like to push down leadings of the Holy Spirit that I just don't want to have faith or do or follow. But those are the things that would make for my peace. And to have a listening ear. A lot of times when God is speaking things to you, it's a precious, I like to say it this way, it's a precious Holy Spirit nagging, okay? In other words, you kind of pushed away or you distracted yourself from that thing, and yet here it is. It keeps coming back, and it keeps coming back. It's saying, okay, now I'm going to pay attention to that thing. I'm going to stop and look at it. I'm going to pray about it. Is this a visitation? God, are you guiding me? Sometimes God can guide you into, could be relationships, a chapter of Scripture, a godly book, godly counsel. I mean, there's different things that God can put on your heart. Be listening. Keep an open heart this week. Learn the lessons from Palm Sunday. Be aware of visitations from God. Be aware of the leading of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that I love about this Christian life is we get to work it out in the privacy of our own heart. Praise God. What did Paul say? He said, let each one of you work out his own salvation. He never calls any of us to work out another person's salvation. We're called to work out our own salvation. And yeah, we've been some, and you can see something that's wrong in somebody, and you know better, yeah, and you took you 10 years to finally repent and get it right before you got it. So be a little patient, all right? So it's one of those things where, yeah, I want to be obedient. I want to listen. I'm keeping a listening ear this week. Are there things that would make for my peace this week? Show me. I want to step out. I don't want things to get level. I want things to be healed. I love the scripture. It says, make straight paths for your feet, you know, so that which is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Healed. And there are paths of healing, restoration. There are visitations we experience from God, praise God, that can be the breakthroughs in our life simply because we're listening to what he is saying. So this Palm Sunday, we're just looking at a few things. We're just kind of coming back to a few of the events of Palm Sunday. First, that giving heart. You know, I don't know. We're going to find out, I guess, on the other side, who the cult owner was. But I'll tell you what, that was a person who just willingly, freely gave, simply because he knew the Lord had need of it. It'd be interesting to know his relationship with the Lord and what all that means. But Jesus said, go into that village over there. And first cult you see, that's the guy. Lord, help us to be that guy too, that you know that you can get things done in the earth. Worship. Praise God. We shamelessly worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he is a rock of offense. And yes, we can get in trouble. And when you make your boast in the Lord, the world is not pleased, but God will declare you. You know, God will declare your name. Jesus will declare your name before the Father in heaven. The name of Jesus. We're remembering who he is. Is he the rock of offense? We get it. We don't mean it to be critical or mean-spirited in any way, but we are shamelessly worshiping God in the face of any persecution. I shamelessly declare, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God for salvation. In other words, I'm seeing through my own persecution to the opportunity for somebody to know Christ, to know God. Aren't you glad somebody loved you enough to share the gospel, to get past themselves, to be able to lift up Jesus higher than their own ego and reputation? I'm telling you, there's a powerful reminder of worship. Jesus, you are Lord, you are King. We once were not a people, but now we are the people of God. We do show forth the praises of him who called us out of that darkness. And finally, visitation. We want to have that open heart, that open ear. Lord, if you want to visit me this week, if you want to show me things that are going to make for my peace, praise God. Prepare my heart, Lord. I just thank you for it, Father God. Well, Lord, we just thank you this morning for just the power of your word, the power of your spirit, this precious story that we have, Palm Sunday, of your coming, Lord, and the celebration of the resurrection of Lazarus and the celebration of you, Lord, as King of Israel, Lord. We just thank you for it. Help us to remember these truths, Lord, to have that giving heart, Father, and to just have, just go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Palm Sunday and the events that I can learn from. I want to have that giving heart. I want to be that person that you can impress to give to a specific need and to be obedient and to give with a cheerful heart to make a difference in this earth. I'm here for a short time. Use me, Lord, for your purpose. Lord Jesus, I worship you today. You are my Lord and Savior. I give thanks for your precious life that died and was raised again. I thank you, Lord. The rocks will not have to cry out. I will show forth your praise. You called me out of darkness and into your marvelous light. My ears are open, Lord. Visit me this week. Show me the things that would make for my peace. You love me. You speak the truth in love. I hear what you say, and I'll make changes, and I'll follow after you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning, and just trust the Holy Spirit. Like we like to say at Door of Life, the second sermon of the Holy Spirit, who does a lot of the heavy lifting in these messages, what the Holy Spirit says about what the preacher says, you know, what he's showing you to do with it. We're excited, but praise God.